Welcome to the Valley Outdoors, everybody. Glad to have you guys with us, joining us today. And today it is Ava.
Just me.
And me. That's us. We are the Valley Outdoors this week. Don is off gallivanting somewhere. We're not sure what he's doing, but got a lot of cool stuff we're going to talk about in the show. And we've got a fish consumption advisory for a couple Twin City area lakes slash a river. And so that's going to be something to think about.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And a story that I find it hard to believe about a Leech Lake. And it involves a pontoon and immovable objects. So that
All
and
right.
more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Good to see you as always, Ava.
You know, it's good to be seen, especially when we're missing somebody.
Yeah, well, we get the job done, even though Don's not here. We get her done, as they say.
What was our saying about Don? Don't worry about Don.
Don't worry about Don.
Don's all right.
Don's all right. He's that just depends. Depends on if Don's all right or not. He's healthy wise. He's okay.
For real, he's all right.
He's all right. He really is.
He's doing something, but he's all right.
In joking manner.
Don't worry about Don.
Don't worry about Don. Wow. I don't know where that came from. But
we'll let you know when to worry about
Don. Yeah, when to worry about it will be next week when he's back in studio. That's going to be the challenge. I have to say, last week, I was out and I was up in Lake of the Woods. I was able to take a trip up there. We stayed at Flag Island and amazing trip. It's kind of funny. I was up there with guys that all had my old Ranger boats and one of the guys that had my last Vexus boat. So it was four boats up there. It was like old home week. And of course, everybody's like, hey, can you check this? Could you fix this? Could you do this? I'm like,
it's not my boat anymore.
Well, you know, out of the kindness of my heart.
Of course you did.
It just kind of checked it out. And I said, well, this is this. And this, oh, I didn't know that. I said, well, I've told you that, but you must have forgotten. So nonetheless, we had a blast. It's a long boat ride. It's about 28 miles. We went from the basically the south end of Lake of the Woods and then drove up through the islands and up into Flag Resort. What a resort. If you've never stayed there, guys, this place has just about any size cabin you're going to want, and it's right in the middle of everything. Wind never really affects it. If you get a breeze or a wind at all, you can tuck behind islands. I was very impressed, and it was first class all the way. Really pretty neat deal. The fish were biting. Nothing big. Midsummer generally
it's
is
kind of not, hard, isn't it?
What's that?
Later in the season, it's just fishing is harder.
I will say this: we never lacked. We had an average, probably about 80 to 100 fish days per boat, which we were picky on what we kept.
Okay,
and so that was awesome. We had a significant number of perch. We had usually every day we had a couple crappies. We didn't target those, and so we were using. One of the methods that I've won a lot of money on the tour, slow death. And one of the things that I used way back before they started really doing anything with it was a Mac blade, which is a small fiber blade.
Okay. And
so one of the things that anytime you're fishing with a group of people, you have 3-4 in the boat and you're making a turn or a corner. The problem you have is if somebody's running heavier spinner, meaning a metal spinner, the spinner will slow down and sink immediately, and it'll go right to the bottom and, shall we say, engage in a rock of some sort. And many times that was part of the issue. And
when we had guys switched over to the Mac blades, it doesn't sink as fast, stays floating, and it spins at a much slower speed. So we could go at 0.9 to 1.1 mile an hour and have significant push or spin with the blade, and was absolutely perfect. So as we switched the guys in the boat I was in, each day had a different boat, switched them over, changed everybody. You didn't have to tie up, because it's a bummer when you're with four or five people, in this case, four people a boat, and one person gets snagged up. You got to go back around. Hey, we're snagged up. Everybody reel up. Because to spend so much time retying for a lot of these guys that aren't necessarily experienced anglers, it's more of a pain in the butt. And just being able to go back over to that bait and give it a little play with it a little bit, comes right out. So you're good to go. But nonetheless, the big thing was
still
setting it up for success. Mm-hmm. Was the big thing. The other thing that stood out on this trip was I have a distinct appreciation for electricity, more so when electricity is in the air.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't realize in this trip, it was exactly that. People don't realize how close electricity in a storm can be. Even if lightning's a long way off, you'll be close. And one of the guys in the boat we were with, I said, man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of electricity in the air. I'm seeing lightning. I'm not a fan. And it was no more than about a minute later, he got zapped in his pointer finger. Now, his pointer finger, as we were packing up things quickly after he got shocked because it traveled down the fishing rod, his finger was swelling as
he got owie.
He got whacked. We pulled over to the other boats, and of course, you guys, you're just wussies. Nope. And we were on plane heading back to the ramp or back to the resort. Maybe 45 seconds after we had talked to them, lightning bolt hit literally about 10 yards in from where we were fishing on the lake. It was about 100 yards from shore. Needless to say, those guys turned around and said, we're done.
Yep, see you later.
But the problem is that you need to realize that lightning can be you can get hit 10 miles away from the closest lightning. And that's the issue at hand. And it was something that really stood out to me as an important factor. You've got to be careful. Summer, you can be out in the lake. You're not maybe able to get in. Or if you're, hey, it's no big deal, pull up the lightning app portion of your weather app. There's a lightning app on there. It says where the lightning strikes have been lately.
Mm-hmm.
I don't hate the fish that bad where I've got to be out worrying about not having this be my last fishing trip.
Well, yeah. And, you know, usually these storms are pretty quick. So if you can just hang out for 20 minutes or so, you can get back on the water. But just make sure.
Yeah.
You're
and
safe.
Check the direction
the
they're going.
The biggest thing.
Check for the electrical because it is
safe.
Not good. If you cast your jig out and the jig doesn't hit the water, I've had that happen because of static electricity.
No.
Yeah.
No
it's,
way.
It's the crazy a quarter ounce jig. So be careful out there. And, by the way, hang tight. We will be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about the Leech Lake story.
Looking forward to
stay,
it. Yeah.
Stay around for that. Be right back. Welcome back, and as always, like to have you guys check us out on Facebook, like us please, and thevalleyoutdoors.com, and it's going to give you all the detail that you're looking for your next outdoor adventure. Simply dial in the map where you want to go, pull it up, and you'll see activities galore.
In previous shows.
Yeah,
I mean,
that too.
Can go way back.
You can
way back.
It's hard to believe how way back. You can go. Is that
I
eight
know.
Now? 8 years?
8 years? I don't know. I came in a few years into it.
That's PE, pre-Ava.
Yeah. You had Mark O'Connor.
Yep. Had Mark.
And then it was me.
Yep.
And then you had Sean for a little bit.
And we had Sean.
A year
and
ago.
And then they're back.
Now I'm back.
Yeah. I think it's going on
it's
eight.
It's been a ride.
Hard to believe.
I've been here since 2017. Did you guys start in 2016 or 15?
I think it was 15.
Yeah, I think it was. So you might be 9 years.
Yeah, right? It's wow. Just seems like 12. I mean, seems like yesterday.
Right. Feels like 20 years.
Seems like, I can't believe it. We're still here. I just can't believe it. Speaking of still here, if you want to be still here, you want to.
I love your segues.
You like that segue? You're going to want to be hanging around and listening to this story. I'm going to hold the hit and run from Leech Lake for just a second. There's a fish advisory warning for two metro lakes. This was just released out of St. Paul. The Minnesota Department of Health, DNR, and the PCA, Pollution Control Agency, and again, this is Minnesota, they're recommending that certain people avoid eating fish caught in the two bodies of water in the Twin Cities Metro due to new data showing mixed pollutants, including per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS. I had it right the first time, in the fish. Those bodies of waters are the Mississippi River from the dam in St. Paul Ford Dam to Hastings Dam, known as Pool 2. Fortunately, that's a catch and release only for walleye for the most part anyway, and Lake Rebecca near Hastings. So people should avoid eating fish from those locations, including children under the age of 15, people who could become pregnant or who are, and those who are breastfeeding or plan to breastfeed. Otherwise, apparently, it shouldn't be an issue. Prior guidance for these bodies of water recommended not eating certain types of fish due to polychlorinated biphenyls and mercury. Both have been detected in fish in Minnesota for decades, but the new data on presence of many types of the PFAS chemical prompted the officials to update the guidance. And from the commissioner, updated fish consumption guidance for Rebecca and Pool 2 applies only to high-risk populations at this time. It's important to note that with PFAS, the risk is based on long-term exposure, not the kind of short-term exposure you might have from a few meals. So nothing to panic about. PFAS are common human-made chemicals that do not break down in the environment over time. PFAS can build up in a person's body. Children's immune systems are most sensitive to that. And so there you have it. But again, it's just an alert. Be aware if you're anybody going to be pregnant or young kids.
Yeah. So like when I was pregnant, I just avoided fish. Like, do you know what I mean? Like if it was caught in a lake.
Because it made you nauseous?
No, it's just an unnecessary risk.
Oh.
It's kind of like avoiding deli meat when you're pregnant. It's just.
I didn't know deli meat was an issue.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Processing and that kind of thing?
No, it's like nitrates or something.
Oh, gotcha, gotcha.
I don't know. They just told me not to do it, so I didn't.
Perfect. Follow the rule. You rule follower.
I don't ask questions.
You rule follower. Well, speaking of rule followers that didn't follow the rules, there's another segue for you. Out of Leech Lake, a hit-and-run boat investigation is underway. I saw this last week. I could not believe it. A buddy of mine was up and works up in that area in Leech Lake up in Walker. And it was on Facebook. Cass County Sheriff's Office and the Walker Police Department are investigating a boat hit-and-run property damage incident that took place in the evening of the 28th of July on Leech Lake. And the incident took place near Chase on the Lake. Chip Lear, we've had him on the show, friend of the show, many times. He used to be an announcer with the FLW and National Walleye Tour. The fishing guide in the area is host of the Chip Lear Wildside podcast, said the hit and run caused damage to the Walker City dock and the rental pontoon. Lear said he was eating dinner and heard a loud noise and the pontoon hit a dock, and it caught his attention to see what was going on. He said the individual who caused the accident jumped out of his pontoon, pried his pontoon from the dock, then jumped back into the pontoon and sped off away from the scene. He said no one was on the dock or in the rental pontoon. The sheriff's office updated the Facebook page saying officers identified the boat and operator and an investigation was being conducted. The sheriff's office is asking people to share any other information about the incident and having them call 218-547-1424. And that's going to be involved in the Cass County Sheriff's Office. How can you do that? I'm sorry, but it's one of the busiest dock marina areas you can imagine. And this boat was a, like, there's not many of this type of pontoon boat out there. I mean, there's only one dealer that sells it up there in the general area. They got photos of the guy. And the damage to the dock is crazy.
Like, he really, really messed it up.
It's a folded up mess.
Well, okay. One, he was probably intoxicated. So that's why he ran.
So you're saying there was an adult beverage involved?
Probably. Maybe even a warrant?
I would say there definitely was an adult beverage. We zoomed in on the photograph, and there was a can in the cup holder. So that's definitely a possibility. Yep. It was late in the afternoon.
Okay. Usually when people run, there's something else. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, oh, yeah.
Like, if you hit the dock and it was a complete accident, you know, there's insurance for that. Like, you know what I'm saying? But
totally,
usually people that run are either intoxicated or have a warrant.
I'm just following along your process here. I'm impressed. Investigative mind of Ava.
I should just be a cop.
The mind of Ava. I think maybe a new segment we're going to go with. Yeah. Yep. What your thoughts are.
Tell me and I'll help them find them.
But again, I find it, you can't fix stupid.
No. And then they ruin it for everybody else. So,
well, and he wrecked the dock, wrecked the rental pontoon. I believe he punched a hole in the pontoon. I was talking to Chip, and I believe they punched a hole in the pontoon, so they got to try and fix that. And that's not an easy task to try and weld up aluminum when it's very thin like that. So, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. Well, tell you what, on that note, let's break, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the Michigan DNR and pheasant, which is really a cool story.
Yeah,
so
pheasant,
you're going to
right
want to hang tight for that
already.
One. Hang tight.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
We're gonna have to employ your intellect in future shows.
My
whenever
detective
we have
skills?
Yeah, your sleuthing skills.
Just comes naturally. What can I say?
Wow. I wasn't quite expecting that much of
so much confidence.
Of self-confidence in that part of the program, but nonetheless, I got nothing on that one, which is hard to believe, but I don't.
Just put me on the task force.
Task.
We'll find it.
That's the key terminology these days, task force.
I don't know.
That's apparently what you're going with.
Mm-hmm.
Then I'm going to put you on the walleye
task force. I
haven't
watched enough Law and Order to know yet.
Dun-dun.
My husband calls it dun-dun.
Dun-dun.
Because of that, yeah.
Yep,
so
exactly.
Are you watching dun-dun?
Well, speaking of dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun.
The Michigan DNR is expanding the rooster release program for the 2023 upland bird hunting season. Out of Lansing, Michigan, the Department of Natural Resources is a highly anticipated pheasant release program expanding, and it will include, get this, 3 times more rooster pheasants released than last year. 3 times.
Wow.
That's not once. That's not twice.
But three,
three times.
Okay.
That's 3X. 4 new release sites in Cass City, Crane Pond, Dansville, and Stanton State game areas. Additional releases in December on state game areas with an open pheasant hunting season. And that's super cool, I have to tell you. The strategic expansion ensures greater distribution of released pheasants and gives hunters even more options to explore Michigan's diverse landscapes. Granted, they're not natural birds. They are, but they're not. They're released birds. But I will say this, it gives everybody an opportunity now to get birds. And of course, you're not going to necessarily shoot every bird that is out there. So hopefully they're able to.
Well, and then they can mingle with the actual wild birds.
Mingling?
You know what I'm saying?
Is that like an after hours get together?
Kind of. Like get to know each other.
Perfect.
Eventually make babies. Who knows?
They should get a hold of each other on Facebook or.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Slide into their DMs.
For the seasoned hunters and newcomers alike, this is a prime opportunity for everyone to experience the thrill of pheasant hunting. We're excited to expand the pheasant release program and offer unique chance to connect and reconnect with upland bird hunting in Michigan. The increased number of rooster pheasants and the addition of new release locations ensures that hunters can enjoy a memorable hunting season. The rooster-only pheasant releases will occur October 20th through November 14th, coinciding with the pheasant hunting opener. All release sites that have an open December pheasant hunting season will have an additional release in December. That's
all
pretty
right.
Cool.
Yeah, that's good.
I was, so some of the counties are Cass, Cornish, Crane, Crow Island, Dansville, Erie, out of Monroe County, Lapeer, Lighty Lake, Pinconning. I've been there. Point Mulet, been there. Rose Lake, Stanton, St. John's Marsh. The sale of the $25 pheasant license funds, that's for the pheasant tag or the license itself, funds the release program with pheasants supplied by the Michigan Association of Game Bird Breeders and Hunting Preserves.
Did you say how many birds were being released? Did you give a number or is it just,
no, just
three times?
Not once, not twice, but three times.
Be kind of interesting to know.
They did not have that number at the time of the press release.
So interesting. All right.
I'm sorry, I just don't happen to have that handy, which
no problem.
Unfortunate. But
a lot of birds. Sounds like a lot of birds.
Lots of birds. Lots of birds everywhere. I thought it was kind of a, I guess, controversial story would be maybe the best way to put it.
Ooh, we love controversy on
yeah,
the show.
I do. Don's not such a fan.
Let's stir it up.
Yep. Mix the pot. The Coalition of Hunting Conservation Organizations asks the Fish and Wildlife Service to delist the Great Lake Wolf. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service repeatedly has delisted the Great Lake Wolf in the past, but legal challenges have derailed those efforts. Out of Muskegon, Michigan, Coalition of Hunting Conservation Organizations are petitioning again the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to return gray wolves in the Great Lakes to state management while maintaining federal protections for other populations. Sportsmen's Alliance, the Michigan Bear Hunters Association, the Upper Peninsula Bear Houndsmen Association, Wisconsin Bear Hunters Association filed a pair of petitions this late June, it just showed up, calling for the federal government to take action that would ensure that the gray wolf management is based on science. Once the petition requests the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to remove the Great Lakes Endangered Species Act protections in Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and areas of adjoining states, while other requests the agency exercise management options for remnant wolf populations outside the Great Lakes and the Northern Rocky Mountains. It's critical we put together a long-term plan to get science back in wildlife management on wolves, said Todd Atkins, the Sportsman's Alliance Vice President of Government Affairs. The ESA petition process is abused by animal extremists to handcuff wildlife managers. But in this case, we are using the same process to get the state agency and science back into the mix. The coalition points to wolf populations that exceeded recovery goals for decades. Wolves in the Great Lakes regions now are estimated more than 4,000, including 2,700 in Minnesota, 1,000 in Wisconsin, and more than 600 in Michigan. The initial goal was 1,400 for Minnesota, and a minimum population of 100 wolves from Michigan and Wisconsin combined. That's huge difference.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Wildlife managers estimate wolves occupy nearly all suitable habitat throughout the Great Lake Range. That's a crazy deal. When taken together, the two petitions create a clear pathway for the Fish and Wildlife Service to recognize wolf recovery where it has taken place while continuing to ensure management flexibility under the ESA for the remnant wolf in the West and throughout the country. And granting the request within the two petitions in tandem also would align with the Fish and Wildlife Service approach to federal court rulings in a number of cases over the years.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit.
Well, those numbers don't match up at all.
No, no. It's well past recovery.
Yeah, I would say.
And I will say that the one of the big issues comes into play when you're talking about the farmer population. That's a big one. But also when you're in the woods at that point, they are a pack animal. And it's a little spooky if you're in the woods and you see one, maybe two, because you know there's probably
more,
four more hanging out somewhere. And that can be a bit of a spooky little deal. And in my mind, scary, to say the least. One quick note. We'll carry this on next week. I'm going to do some research on it. But I've seen this across our state, Minnesota. Cormorant population continues to increase on Lake Michigan waters. Big-time fish-eating birds, the cormorants are, double-crested, have been increased in their abundance and, as a result, have become a concern for the impact of the Great Lakes near-shore fisheries and near the Great Lakes in some regions of Michigan. And, yeah.
Gosh, lots of Michigan today.
I know.
Lots
well, you know, you got to show the love over there. We got a lot of people that travel over there, and our good folks over there are listening as well. So it's always a good thing. We'll continue that story next week, but hopefully have somebody from Michigan on to talk about that. And
just some of the things going on there. I
yeah.
Mean, geez.
They had to actually have a special hunt up in Devil's Lake and in North Dakota to get rid of those, as well as Green Bay. So,
wow.
Tell you what, we are the Valley Outdoors for Ava and myself. Don is not here, but we'll say for him anyway. We're glad to have you with us. We will be talking with you next week. Have a great weekend.